morning and welcome to a Friday on The Conversation and everywhere else, too. It's nice, though, to come to the end of the week. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich, and to my right, as always, Chris Vandercook. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann. So some rates are going up and some rates are going down.
If you're talking about energy costs, that would be true in Hawaii. We're going to talk about that this morning. Now, higher electric bills may be coming for Oahu's HECO customers. For the first time in 6 years, Hawaiian Electric Company says it plans to increase rates due to rising internal costs. Meanwhile, on Kauai, customers of that island's utility cooperative are now enjoying an 18% decrease in rates from the level they were at 8 years ago. And the smaller bills have arrived along with a growing renewable portfolio to now over 30%. Life of the Land Executive Director Henry Curtis joins us now with more on this divergent energy story. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
I mean, it's rather ironic that we see both of these stories coming down, you know, ostensibly in the same week. But for years now, both have been working toward producing green energy. Why is it that one has been able to do it so well and the other seemingly not so?
Kauai Island Utility Cooperative is owned by its members, and therefore the people who are in charge and the people who are receiving the energy are the same, and there is no incentive to bloat the company. Whereas Hawaiian Electric Company, the Public Utilities Commission has specifically asked Hawaiian Electric to find ways of cost containment. And that would be one of the major issues in this proceeding, whether the utility is bloated or whether it has actually sought to find ways of containing its runaway costs.
According to HECO's CEO, Alan Oshima, they say that, you know, the cost for providing service to Oahu's customers has been going up since 2011, that they've just been sort of containing it themselves, but now they want to have a rate increase to be able to pass on the real cost of the rate. What do you make of that?
Well, that's a statement now, but of course during the Next Era debacle where they were trying to take over Hawaiian Electric, Hawaiian Electric and Next Era proclaimed that there was a lot of fat that they could carve out of HECO. So it's a change of positions.
How do we see what that fat might be? Would there be any impulse to be able to see what was there or what could be there to carve out now?
Well, interestingly enough, merger proceedings gathered all sorts of interveners. I mean, 30 interveners jumped into that. But in a rate case, traditionally, virtually no one intervenes, and therefore no entity actually gets into the mess and figures out what's going on. The PUC will be the decision maker. The consumer advocate represents ratepayers. Life of the Land will intervene. But except for that, it is perhaps possible that no one else seeks to intervene. On Oahu, the Department of Defense will probably intervene. On the Big Island, DOD will not intervene.
That almost seems strange for people to hear, given, as you say, so many interveners during the proceedings in which the merger was being considered. As we move forward now, given the fact that we already pay such high rates, do you have any sense of what the PUC might be predisposed to do?
Well, one of the issues is a rather complicated financing mechanism called decoupling, where you separate the oil, the changes day to day from the allowed rate of return, delinking oil basically to your return. And in the case of Maui, they suggested the return on equity should be lowered because there's less risk to shareholders. The utility is going to fight that in this case. They don't want their rate of return on equity to be affected by the fact that they're a less risky company.
Wasn't the whole point of decoupling, as we began to discuss it years ago, to ensure that the, if you will, the nut that the company had to cover would be so, and that that would free them to be able to produce the green energy that everyone was clamoring for?
Yes. And there seems to be a slowdown on rooftop solar and other forms of energy, green energy coming on. The slowdown has been over the last couple of years. And so it seems like they're dragging their feet on getting more renewables on and at the same time asking for higher rates, and that's not going to be very popular.
You mentioned solar. We were told even just 18 months ago, 2 years ago, that with the fact that more people could not be able to connect and that they would have to wait in queue or even when that was lifted, that solar would be ramping down. But now we've seen it to be veritably gutted. What happens to solar from this point forward?
In order to get more solar onto the grid, you can put it on as long as you don't export it to the grid, as long as you use it only on site, which means that you have a load between 10 and 2 p.m. that you can absorb that production or that you have a battery. But while a number of people are applying for that, far less than under net energy metering, only two systems have been approved by the utility in the last year. So it's basically a gutting.
Which we heard was going to happen when net metering ended and that there were warnings and people would be dropping out of that. The idea that you wouldn't be paid market rate, you couldn't feed anything back in, there wasn't a circle that one could be involved with in creating energy, feeding it in, taking it when you needed it, that when that circle was broken, solar would also find itself broken. Is there any way that that can come back?
It can if we separate Hawaiian Electric out. We say instead of Hawaiian Electric generating and competing against other generators and owning the grid, the utility should own the grid and sell off all its generation. That way it doesn't favor one generation over another and it can adopt the state policy and move far more aggressively into renewables. But as long as the utility owns fossil fuel power plants, then those will be forever competing against renewable energy companies.
Which kind of brings us back to the beginning of the conversation with the KIUC, the fact that you have a cooperative that's owned and directed by those people who receive the energy from it. When we were talking so much last year at during session and even before session started, the idea that we should be looking at other alternatives was very big. Haven't heard so much about that in the last little while, but is there a movement to look at other alternatives for Oahu customers, and would that be as effective as, say, it has been on Kauai, where you're dealing with far fewer people and a much smaller place?
One of the issues is that if you buy solar with a battery combined, you get a tax credit. But if you buy solar now and you get a tax credit and then you buy a battery later, there's no state tax credit for that. I know both the Senate under Senator Lorraine Inouye and the House under Representative Chris Lee are looking at reviving a bill that would provide a tax credit for energy storage at the residential level. And that would enable a lot of batteries to come on, which not only helps the homeowner at that particular home, but can help stabilize the grid, which would allow more solar to be entered onto the grid.
For the moment, we're going to leave it there, but thank you, Henry, for coming in.
Thank you.
Beth Henry Ann. Kernis is the executive director of the organization Life of the Land.
God, we're going to run down to Electric Avenue, and then we take it higher. Avenue, and then we take it high.